we each have made decisions and created habits that separate us from our essential nature. The essential nature remains untarnished, pristine, but it's just kind of covered over a little bit. So it's just there, kind of waiting for us to remember.
Welcome to Jody Dean's Flow Ninja Podcast, bringing you comedy, consciousness, creativity, natural health and well-being.
Hi, it's me, Jody Dean. If you don't know me, I'm a body, mind, spirit coach and mentor. I also call it spiritual coaching. I'm a speaker, an actor, a digital marketer and content creator. And I make videos, I'm a YouTuber, and I'm an author, as well as making podcasts. In this episode, I talk to Suta Guy Rawson, who is a darkness facilitator. He's a tantra teacher and a breath worker. And we have a very deep dive into all kinds of weird and wonderful things centered around spirituality and consciousness. I've known Suta for a very long time and we recently reconnected. So it felt perfect to be interviewing him and learning about his take on life and what he does and how he does it. And I'm thrilled to have him on the podcast. So please enjoy the interview with Suta Guy Rawson. Also, just a shout out for Patreon. It's a way that you can support this podcast and help me continue to have these conversations with great people and minds. And just go to patreon.com/flowninja to support. Suta, which means going beyond time or timelessness, has a long history within the world of personal and spiritual development. His journey started to take off rapidly at 18 years old when he discovered transcendental meditation, then going on to become an international healer, teacher, and guide for over 10,000 clients within the various paradigms that he's currently thoroughly immersed himself in over the years. After many years of being a successful international healer, working with such luminaries as Ma Anand Sarita and Michael Barnett, Suta decided to take a risk on bringing his deeper vision out to the world. The choices he made at that time had some unexpected consequences. Like all good journeys do, the crucible of transformation he entered at that time led to the consolidation of his life's work into the darkness experience. So, welcome, Suta.
Thank you. That's quite an intro. There's now you've set up these this kind of this history, this story for me to live up to, but also to flesh out and say more about. And it's good to be here.
Great. My pleasure. My absolute pleasure. Great to have you on. So yes, Suta. What's life like for you?
So, the thing that I'm really into is that life is a kind of place of great mystery and wonder, basically. So, it's just incredible to be alive, isn't it? And we can really enter into each day, each moment, with a sense of like real aliveness and curiosity and wonder. And so I try to make my life about that and turning other people on to that also. There's actually, you've been mentioning the darkness experience, but as well as working with darkness, I also very, very passionate about the amazing healing power of breath and breath work. Mm-hmm. And then also for 10 years, I was a tantra teacher, and I still do that occasionally as well. You know, it's a whole deep, rich, profound spiritual path of awakening. So, you know, I've got three kind of main modalities, and then hundreds of school tools and techniques in my bag of tricks. But actually, the whole thing is really about something beyond, or that comes through those techniques. And that is really that, you know, this is quite a time that we're living in. It's a time of great change. In some ways, it's kind of messy. And for sure, there's a whole lot of stress out there in the world. And maybe some of it like actually reaches people and their doorstep, and beyond that, beyond their doorstep, actually gets into their body and their mind, and makes life a little bit less fun, a little bit less of a playground, a little bit less of a kind of open space to explore possibilities. And actually the kind of essence really of what I'm about is that really I'm offering an expression of what I call space. Through my flavor of being, through all the experiences that I've had, you know, and I love to facilitate and craft experiences that help people remember something really deep and true and profound within themselves, and that's beyond their usual experience of having a personality and the known. Having an emotional body that's often getting triggered and activated and really tight and contracted. Helping support somebody's more adult felt sense of presence. But then beyond that, there's a kind of space, which I believe is the source of magic. It's actually the thing that we come from, a transpersonal space, that we emerge out of that space. So it's like I want to give pointers for people to remember that. And
what you're just talking about, it's for me, it totally activates that sense of ether. Of the five elements. Like everything you've just been saying, I'm like, oh my God, it's ether. Wow, yeah. Can you for talk sure, more about that?
For sure, that's that element of space. You know, I guess you could say it's getting connected to the beyond, to consciousness. Whereas most of the time we're orientated towards the material world of stuff and things and objects. It's so easy in the modern world to start to even think of ourselves and other people just as objects that we're trying to produce effects on. And but along with that comes a sense of disconnection and separation, which actually is really painful. That's like a kind of primal wound, that sense of disconnection.
Oh my God, yeah.
And maybe the reality is more than being these discrete elements, separate things, we're existing in a field of connectivity and possibility and magic. Sure, like you're saying, ether is I would call like the source, the origin. And then also like to include, the material plane. Here we are in a body. And we're here in a physical body for a reason. That's like the earth element. There's the There's the very air that we breathe, which is giving us so much energy and inspiration, and the other elements, fire and water and whatever you draw upon in there are different systems with the elements. And that's such a rich and profound way to look at life and to try and make sense of what the hell is going on here.
Yeah. Actually, no, that's fabulous. And thank you for sharing that. And we're going to have a separate conversation another time, because I feel like with the work that I'm now going to be sharing with through the retreats and everything, that like I feel that maybe you can be a teacher on the deep work of the ether element.
I'd be very interested in that. And yeah, also passion and affinity for the air element as well.
Yeah. Okay. So that's something we can have another. Let's have another conversation about that another time, because that's like something that like I just like getting like real like ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, like Suta.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ding-dong.
Suta could be a great teacher for that in one of the retreats, you know. So one of the like the 5-day intensives on one of the elements. So that's right, we'll talk about that another time, but that's very exciting. So great. So please continue. Also, I wanted to say that we met a long ass time ago, right? And so, you know, we're no strangers to each other. I'm trying to identify and remember the first time we met, but what I remember with real clarity, and this is indelibly imprinted in my mind, is this vision of you as this dancer at this this ska reggae gig up in York, and that was 20 odd more years ago. And I just remember it so clearly, because you were such an amazing dancer and mover. And you just had this grace and fluidity about you, and you were wearing these flowy kind of Alibaba pants. They were super flowy. And I just remembered this guy, this dancing genie. And I was just like, who is this guy? Right? Who is this guy that has this like total like flow? And like, no, I mean, there was no one else like you. And you just stood out, and you were expressive and totally yourself and unapologetic, you know. And I see that somehow like archetypally is kind of in your essence. And yeah, that kind of even now conversing with you, I feel that as well.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that there's a resonance for sure. Like we like attracts like, at least sometimes. And you know, I also perceive those qualities in you. And it may well be that the people that watch this video or listen to the audio, they're also, you know, there's something about that way of being that is very much alive for them too. And maybe they're wanting to call that more into their life and their being, and find a way to express that more freely and more fully. Dance is a great way to do that. I was really, really into dancing for some years, you know, did loads of five rhythms and expressive movement and so on. So, I think that often people that have these kinds of conversations, we might have felt earlier in our life like a kind of black sheep, like somehow we can't just swallow the package of like, consensus reality. What's accepted, what's normal, is in like no way enough or satisfying. So you find your own way of doing everything, your own way of dancing, your own way of dressing, your own way of moving and breathing. And that requires, sometimes that might require a certain kind of courage. It requires a certain kind of willingness to enter into the unknown and to flow into the unknown, rather than just simply going along with the stuff that we've been handed, the stuff that we've been told, the stuff that we get prescribed by society. And more people turned on and just wanting to function in that kind of way now.
So true. That's happening. That's what's going on. I'm sure the people watching this are probably going, yep, give me more of that. Give me less of the consensus. Give me less of the social programming and how I should behave, must behave, have been taught to behave through schooling, society, media, parenting, everything else. And like, actually, I have my own truth that I want to share. And you're a great example for me in my life. You're a great example of that and how you live and who you are.
Yeah, you know, it's like one thing is that here we are and we're alive. That's like one of the little things that we know for sure. There's something going on here. And beyond that, I think life is trying to live through us. Life is trying to express something through us. And so it's then up to us, our responsibility in a way is then just to let that happen, let that live as much as we're able. You know, it's like, in my view, we're not here on this planet to be a victim, like to be a victim of whatever happened to us in the past. We're here to be a transformer. That's what we're here for. We're here to be a bridge from that past and all those things that came there, a mixed bag, the positive and the problematic. And we're a bridge into a future. And that's calling on us, not really so much to learning maybe a part of things, but I think the essence is to be a creator, to create. And a big part of that, I believe, is also to remember. To remember that that is what we're here for, and to remember that our very essence is life force, and remember that we are spirit embodied with, we don't know the limits of our potential.
Amen. Amen to that.
Yeah. You know, when I'm working with people, and especially when I'm working with groups, you know, it's like I'm just trying to tune into, well, what is the energy of the moment? What is the living truth that's here now?
Beautiful.
And then that work is not coming from the past. I may be informed by all kinds of models and methods and techniques which were developed in the past. And I give thanks and I'm so grateful for the ancestors and the wise ones and teachers that came before us. But really, what we're all doing is responding now, responding to the living moment and making that doorway to the future and a space for something new to come in.
I love it.
You know, even the old ways of there's so much beauty and wisdom in the old ways. Let's not forget that. Let's honor that and bring some of that through. But also, we don't know what it is that wants to be birthed. And I think that there's a kind of energy, an energy that exists from the future that flirts with us, that drops hints and that we feel as impulses, crazy ideas or impulses that we don't quite know why we're interested in doing something or going somewhere or how this meeting with somebody or conversation happened. But it's a kind of an intelligence that there is in life, and that there's an evolutionary force at play in each and every one of us, and in culture and society and in gatherings, there's an evolutionary force that's calling us to help manifest the next step.
Love it.
So I could then say some more things about like, you know, because there's many, many people basically saying this right now in all different kinds of fields. That message, that living pulse, that awake, alive, and aware pulse, that's coming through in music and art and society, education and therapy, or just people getting together and being themselves. It's now, it's the time for it. And I have, I've chosen breathwork, tantra, and darkness to be the vehicles through which I manifest that. But then there's also a kind of message that I do think is, that I bring, that is slightly maybe unique, a unique constellation coming out of who I am uniquely. Just as you have your own message and your own gifts coming uniquely and beautifully, I might say, through you and who you are and what you're creating. So, you know, like in many ways, capitalist modern society, some of the key values there are like bigger, better, faster, more.
Yeah.
Bigger, better, and faster is better. And having more is the pathway to a happy life and to being fulfilled. But maybe you get to notice when we've been around the block and we've lived a few seasons, is that really true? Is there actually satisfaction to be found by constantly being on that hamster wheel of chasing bigger, better, faster, more? And also another element of that is a kind of obsession with light. I am a voice in a way for very much the values and experiences that are going against the mass momentum of that culture. So I feel like I'm a voice for slowing things down, finding satisfaction in less, equal to having satisfaction in more, especially in terms of stimulation, for the healing power and magic that can be found in darkness, as well as how mesmerizing and magical light is. And that there's a kind of, there are gifts and treasures to be found in simplicity and not knowing, as well as in increasing complexity and trying to figure everything out, and especially using the mind to try to figure everything out.
Yeah.
So that I feel is something that I don't see too much else being of all of that particular cluster of things. I don't see that being voiced too much elsewhere.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, it's. And I think there's also there's the understanding around consciousness and being. And I'd love to hear your insights around that as relating to darkness. Mm-hmm.
So I think people now in this age where you can just Google the answer to any question, so there's an unprecedented access to information. And actually what people are hungry for, and what I think a real medicine is to not only have access to information, but go beyond that and deeper than that, so that we actually have transformative experiences which give us real knowing, real inner knowledge, and connect us with a kind of wisdom of our being. And we all have that. So being and consciousness is actually all the great religious, spiritual traditions, many philosophers have told us time and time again that to kind of go within, look within, and that maybe that interior universe, the internal dimensions, not only of the mind, but of feeling and consciousness, that is multidimensional and vast, equally as vast as this awesome three-dimensional physical universe that we move through and are entranced by and try to work with when we look out with our eyes. So much energy going out through the eyes. And so what happens if we can begin to turn some of our attention? That's a real key word there, attention. What we're attending to, what we're giving our magical presence to, what happens when we turn that around and we are equally concerned and give a space to our inner space? So society doesn't really encourage us to do that or pursue that, because it keeps us busy forever, doing, and you could live a life where there's no end to doing. Just keep doing stuff until you're so exhausted that you collapse, and then get up and do the whole thing over and over again, like a kind of Groundhog Day, or maybe even it's Groundhog lifetimes of reincarnation, slowly getting the lesson, I'm not here just to be a human doing. I'm here to honor something so profound and so rich and rooted in being. And the access point for being, I found through my experiences, is often absolutely in the opposite direction to what we get told. It's not through doing loads and speeding up and trying to amass more stuff and trying to perfect this personality. It may be through becoming quiet and still and slowing down and being able to face and sit in and embrace darkness as an amazing space of possibility, that then something is there within us that is awesome. From the outside, it's so tiny, it's so small, it's like it's a nothing. And we're concerned with things. We're constantly concerned with things and stuff and matter, that we don't want to be nothing. What is that? It just looks kind of boring. But maybe like an atom, if you get a really powerful electron microscope and look into matter, we keep seeing new dimensions, even within the minute microscopic levels. There's whole worlds at play of universal forces and incredible structures. And we're constantly, in the scientific domain, we're constantly making new discoveries there. Equally, each one of us as an intrepid explorer, an adventurer, scientist of our own consciousness and mind and being, we can also make endless new discoveries inside ourselves. It keeps opening up and opening up and opening up. What it requires of us is a certain kind of willingness and a patience. The visual sense, like we can just kind of blink and we can take in so much information through the visual sense, but we're only seeing the surface of things. People looking at the screen now, me looking at you, I just see the surface of your face, like you see the surface of mine. You're not seeing the side of my head, you're not seeing the back of my head. There's three dimensions that are being, we're only seeing a fraction of it. And we're not seeing the real thing behind the surface of things. And that's really where new levels of reality open up. Most of reality is unseen, and yet we're so captivated by the scene.
Yeah.
So what I do in a darkness retreat is create a situation where you can't see, like literally, not just metaphorically. We're in a blacked out space, you're wearing special blindfolds so that you can have your eyes open and you can't see anything. And actually what happens quite quickly and continues to deepen the longer that you're in that situation is that a different kind of vision begins to wake up, a different kind of sensuality. Each one of the other senses, hearing, smell, the sense of touch, the sense of what it is to be a body moving in through space, the sense of time, that all starts to really shift and a lot of it becomes heightened. But even different aspects, altered aspects of the visionary sense, what you could call the inner vision, that also begins to awaken and become online. So that was quite a ramble.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I'm very passionate about these subjects. You know, I've dedicated my adult life to, well, in the beginning, like a lot of people, I was just feeling like confused and messed up. So I was very strongly motivated by a sense of desperation. I think that's a really powerful motivator. You know, I wanted to fix myself and heal myself and just trying to get to feel okay. And then that kind of shifted over time. And then it just became, wow, I really enjoy this. I really enjoy this exploration. And that's been going on now for over 30 years, 35 years.
Beautiful.
And one of the key things that I find in being alive and awake to a sense of wonder and mystery is to admit and be honest how little it is that I or we know. What I know personally is tiny. And even what we know as a collective, as a society or as a species, although we're amassing huge amounts of apparent knowledge, and that's really growing at an exponential rate these days, still, when it comes down to the old questions and the deepest questions, like who am I?
Who am I?
What are we here for? What is the universe? There's still, we know so little. There's so much that we don't know. And I find that thrilling, actually. I find that really exciting. To be alive to a kind of, it's a kind of paradox. There's so much paradox in life that, yes, I know a lot, and yet actually I don't know. And how can we become big enough in our being, in our heart, in our mind, to embrace things that seem like opposites? And that's a whole big subject, that there. Yeah. Because we're so often conditioned to think that we've got to choose a black and white, either or, linear, binary ways of thinking. Well, it's got to be this or this. It's got to be A or B. And maybe there's a kind of aliveness and creative wellspring that comes out of, well, what if it's this and this? That things that seem opposite, they're both true at the same time. There's a really great guy. I live here in the Southwest in magical Glastonbury. There's a great guy here called Tim Freak. He's written a lot of books. I don't know if you've come across him.
I haven't.
He talks about paralogical thinking. So that going beyond the constraints of logic, yes, have an ability to think rigorously, to be able to think rationally and logically, and also to recognize the limits of that way of thinking and what happens beyond those confines, beyond that box, when we say, yep, that's true, and that's true as well. Like about people, you know, as a person, we're a mixed bag. Here I am as a person that is in a way a messenger for the divine, that has an access to different realms of consciousness. Increasingly in the last few years, I've become very comfortable with the word God and having that be a living experience. So that's true about me. Equally true about me is that I'm a person who can be selfish and feel confused and afraid and alarmed. That can be emotionally reactive and contracted. And so often it's like we want to kind of have put one away, squash one, destroy one, and choose the other, either or. What is it if we can actually say yes to it all? Yes to ether, earth, water. Yes, that I am an amazing being with unlimited potential. And at the same time, I'm this reactive person who sometimes is totally driven by personality and my quirks and neuroses. How can we hold that in ourselves and each other? And one of the keys I've been finding the last couple of years, especially as I mature and see that trying to kind of transcend or try to do away with things about myself and life that I don't like, well, that's a losing game. I'm always going to lose that game. So how can it be that I can include those things in what I am and what life is, but maybe that they're not running, they don't have to run the show. So it's giving a lot more space to the potentials and possibilities, to the pain that we all have. Every human being has pain, in my opinion, and also our magnificence.
So beautiful.
There's something so awesome about full spectrum totality. I just made that word, that phrase up. Full spectrum totality. Sounds pretty good, eh?
Sounds awesome. I love that. You know, you so eloquently explained so many of the mysteries of life just right there, what you've shared. I love that. For me, you've definitely elucidated some real deep truths.
Thank you. That's what's being called for. And there's those moments where you'll do that. You know, you do that.
Yeah.
And then there'll be moments where the people that are listening or watching to this, they do that.
Yeah.
And maybe it's also not just in the ways that we consciously intend, although there is power in conscious intent, there's also power in the kind of unintended consequences of things that happen in a vast interconnected field, in this web of isness, or this web of consciousness. So, you know, things happen, and we play our part in it. We play a part in bringing our presence, our magic, our light, our love. And maybe that touches people in ways that we don't see, or that don't get recognized until much later on. So, you know, I could give you a concrete example of that. For 15 years, I was doing body work. That was when I was working hands-on mostly. I worked with 10,000 people in that time. And sometimes I'd see people and then they'd come for a session, and then I wouldn't see them again for some years. And then they'd get in touch with me again, and they'd say, they'd tell me stuff like, ah, you know, I had this real problem with like gut issues or irritable bowel syndrome. And, you know, after that session with you, I didn't have it anymore. It just seemed to go away. Now, I had no idea about that. I had no idea that, that's what had happened. I'd touched that person or impacted that person in that way. And, you know, I think that happens. We're all conduits. We're all channels for this kind of magical transmission to spread. And it can be done through very, very simple ways, just like a moment of kindness or a moment of giving our attention to somebody or a smile or a certain eye, a moment of eye contact, connectivity. Connectivity is a real big one, you know, these days, because that's one of the ills of our society, people feeling a lack of connection and disconnect. So if you're giving the gift of your presence and the gift of your attention to somebody, well, that's really something.
Absolutely. My God. And with this world we live in right now in 2019, going into 2020, with this abundance of smartphones and apps and notifications and the attention, right? And you just notice it in meetings and interactions and social gatherings, how much the phone, just talking to someone and you're like, yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah, it's an epidemic. It's an epidemic proportion now. Not so long ago, maybe 3 years ago or something, I was spending quite some time in Portugal. I was living like a hermit in the mountains in Portugal. I was caretaking my friend's kind of permaculture project for a while. And in that time there, I wasn't seeing any human beings. Like, once a week, somebody would come and pick me up and we'd go into the local village. And it was just like going back in time. And, you know, there's that real kind of rustic villager types, like farmers, really earthy people, kind of really grounded, quite basic. And I was there in this marketplace and I was thinking, wow, this is really something quite different going on here. What is it? And then I got it. There was not one single person on a phone. There was nobody had earbuds in, like listening to their phone or a personal stereo or something. It was just human beings there. And that felt really, it was really striking, and it created such a different atmosphere. And I am definitely in favor of people doing what you might call a digital detox every now and then. Unplug from electronics and plug into the vibrant life force that's just there within us and all around us.
Do you feel that this is a current learning that perhaps the human race are going through, is to choose consciously, because the cost of the, you know, preponderance and abundance of this technology is at our fingertips, literally and figuratively, that it's so easy to be distracted and overwhelmed, and stimulation so much, and the gamification of everything now, that I'm wondering if do you feel this is perhaps a lesson that humanity is learning to see, to discern between this stuff and being presence, life force?
You know, I think there are so many possibilities. I mean, one possibility is just simply that we're evolving into a species who is able to split attention, seemingly split and give multitask and be orientated towards rapidly shifting attention. Mm. That's maybe one possible future that's kind of birthing now. I would prefer to think that this is a little kind of detour that we're doing to be so entranced by the possibilities of technology. Like you were sort of suggesting that it affords us the situation to choose to be more discerning. Mm. What really feeds me? What really nourishes me? And what is it that I want to give my attention to? What connects me? What plugs me in a way that's not only feeding my visual sense and my mind? Mm. What's going to nourish my heart and my gut and my body? And we've talked a little bit about the state of disconnection that goes on, and that disconnection isn't simply happening in a social fashion between oneself and other people. The disconnection is happening even just at the level of within oneself, within one's own being, and those different aspects of ourselves. So I think a great medicine for that is Tantra and the teachings of Tantra. People have all sorts of ideas about that word Tantra and what it is, and they're usually connoting it and thinking something to do with sex and sexuality. And well, actually, it's about far much more than that, and something more profound. It's actually about how can we connect and have a living experience of ourselves in oneness, in unity, in a harmonious state of connectedness, so that the mind, the heart, and our physicality, our basic life force, including our sexuality, so all of that is somehow aligned and focusing as one, rather than as disconnected elements that are somehow pulling in different directions and fighting against each other and kind of all fractured, which seems to me that's most people's experience. That they get to be very comfortable in one aspect of their being, or you could say very at home with one element in reality. And then there's another aspect of their being that they're far, far away from. They're uncomfortable with, they're suppressing or repressing. They're not allowing themselves to connect up to it and experience the energy that is contained within it, that can flow through it if we just let it.
And I want to just add in as well, whatever you kind of love to know what you feel about this, about programming and conditioning and also cultural norms, because when you were talking about that, I was really sensing, God, it does really, how much we're in touch with certain element in ourselves, is so related to who our parents were and what we lived, and also the society we live in. Because if you're from Brazil, right, you're in touch with quite a different quality of energy than if you're from Finland, for example, and how that works, in terms of the kind of national cultural energies that are around and what your upbringing is. And I just wonder if you could just talk about that a little bit.
So I taught in 15 different countries. And one of the interesting elements of that was exactly this question of seeing how people in different countries, they've got different conditionings and they've got different characteristics. And I think a large part of that originally is to do with the physical environment So things like the climate and the topography, the you know, geographical features of the land and the earth, that really plays a part in shaping the cultures that then emerge, because there was a symbiosis. There was an absolute interconnectedness. And so, yeah, it's interesting to see how those different characteristics play out. And we, you know, it becomes almost like the very psychic air that we breathe in as we grow up. It begins in the family home with parents and relatives. Then we kind of get put into the education system and what the teachers and so on are telling us. If it's a religious country, then there's that conditioning from the priests and so on. And basically, it's all kind of like I think you used the word programming. It's a kind of programming that's showing us like this is the way to be. This is the way to be a good citizen, and this is what you can expect from life. And at the same time, there's always something else going on. There's something I would say there's always the capacity for consciousness, for awareness, awakeness, and there's always the capacity for love, irrespective of what country we're in, where you're from.
Yeah.
And that might get channeled and played out in different ways according to the norms and values of that society.
Yeah.
We can always experience freedom, and we can also always experience being okay with things as is, and then through that we can come to love.
I love that. Yeah, I love how you've described that. Yeah, that's so true for me. I wanted to also, you know, ask you, because obviously you've spent time with different teachers and masters. I just wanted to, yeah, ask about how they've influenced your work and you know, what your experience is with that kind of transmission as well, working with a teacher in that way. A mentor, if you like, a teacher.
Yeah. Firstly, I'd like to say that the greatest teacher is life and existence itself. So that is continuously messaging us. That's where the real SMS is coming from.
I love it.
And, you know, I'll use the word God. If people are not so comfortable with that word, then just, you know, use your own translation, something that you're comfortable with that works for you. But I think God, in a way, is continuously messaging us and speaking to us. It just may be that in a way that's very subtle, non-demanding, very quiet. And we just putting our attention somewhere else most of the time, on our own the constructs of our own self and ego, which is driven completely by the need to protect. So that's that urge to protect the self. So life and spirit is the main teacher. And of course, there are human beings who might be able to manifest life force or light or clarity in a way that is really potent and has tremendous charisma and impact. And for sure, there have been a number of teachers and people who've served that function in this life. Actually, one of them, the guy who gave me the name Suta, was a man called Michael Barnett. Mm-hmm. And he passed away just last week at the age of 89. And so, you know, that caused me to reflect upon that connection and that relationship, which first started like half a lifetime ago for me. So I was really reflecting upon how different a place I'm in now. And being around him played a little part in that. I can't quantify like how much or whatever, but he touched me. I think I learned something through being around him. And that happens again in this way that we can't really fully track and understand. It's a kind of process of osmosis. You know, we have these permeable energy fields and some things get through and some things kind of resonate. Something about his way of being and his message wakes up something similar here. And then it starts to have its own life. It hopefully can take root and start to grow and flourish so that each one of us, we're flourishing in our own uniqueness. And it's not, I think, like a lot of spiritual seekers, although I would have denied it, in some way, when we come across a very charismatic and powerful teacher, it's like we're aspiring to be like them. And I see very often that people then become a kind of mini version of that teacher. They're trying to be like them. They take on the mannerisms and ways of speech and stuff of the teacher. But and that's fine to go through a phase like that. That's in a way a reconditioning process. But then there's so much more to the journey than that. As we begin to flower into our own being, and that's original.
A full expression of our authentic selves, right?
Yeah, because you're meant to be you. Yeah. You're not meant to be whatever teacher you've had. You're not meant to be a carbon copy of that teacher, whether that's Christ or Osho or Buddha or whoever. You're meant to be not even Deanness. Jody Deanness, and then beyond that, something that's nameless and timeless and a mystery, but in this unique fingerprint of being of essential nature. So I'm really grateful to the teachers that I've had, and I just found a new mentor last year, and inside I was so rejoicing. I'm so happy to have found in human form somebody that I just want to be around. I want to be around that guy, like, and absorb his way of being. And then it goes through and somehow it gets digested and composted within my own being, and then will be expressed this way, uniquely.
I totally feel that. It's medicine, right? You just kind of feel this medicine, and it's like, ah, yes. Yeah. I'll just drink that in for as long as I need to drink that in, this medicine from this being, and it just sort of seeps in. I mean, that's my experience, and I'm sure you're kind of, similar. It's just like, aha, yes.
And that's a whole journey to come into that kind of relationship with somebody like that. It can be invigorating and exciting and liberating,
and empowering and enabling.
But it can also be really painful and scary and confusing, because there's a person that you can't control. That's one of the gifts of a master teacher. You cannot control that person. You know, they're really kind of centered in their own way of being. And through that, they can act as an inspirational force to what it is to live true to yourself, or true to something beyond the small self. And through that, then we can become awake to, wow, I'm keeping myself in a little box here. I'm keeping myself small here, when I could step out into something so much grander, so much vaster, more loving and more free.
I feel like in my heart that it's, I get the image of like dipping your toe into the water, and it's like the mentor is the water, and it's like, oh, like what they, whatever they teach or share or show you is like the water. It's like, oh okay, yeah, like this, oh, this is something I can sort of be or do or get into, immerse myself in. And it's, yeah, oh, that's what, yeah, comes, yeah, that's the image that comes, yeah.
And then when you, what comes for me is like a kind of cleansing and the purifying function that water can have. Yeah. Washing, like I got an image of washing away, not necessarily impurities, but more like obscurations. You know, like you might have some mud on something, and then you run it under the tap, and then the form underneath is revealed in its true beauty.
I love that. I love that image.
Yeah. When it comes to, there's a saying of the Sufis that I really love,
yeah,
regarding our connection to God or the source. It's that there are 1,000 layers between you and God, but there are none between God and you. And I find that really beautiful.
That's profound.
We have taken on ideas and conditioning, and we each have made decisions and created habits that separate us from our essential nature. The essential nature remains untarnished, pristine, but it's just kind of covered over a little bit. So it's just there, kind of waiting for us to remember. And what my perspective is that those values that I spoke of earlier, bigger, better, faster, more, they tend to sustain the disconnection. They keep us entranced in illusion. So the medicine then is to make a choice, and the choice can be, do I really need to clutter up my life, my space, my time with whatever, this activity, this stuff, this relationship, these people? What happens if I can just let go, or I can slow down, let myself be still sometimes? So that brings a kind of, for one thing, a rebalancing of the nervous system, Most people are absolutely frazzled.
Because that's so true.
They're going too fast, too much of the time, trying to do too much stuff. In my view. So, although it might sound a bit scary or feel like, oh, it's going to be a bit boring, isn't it, if I don't do so much? Well, I want to encourage people that that's where the treasure is. You know, meditation is very much in vogue these days, right? And there's so much scientific evidence now which is showing many, many benefits in all kinds of different ways to engaging with a meditation practice. Well, you know, it's not the only way to meditate, but for sure, one way is to sit down and be still. Just that, fundamentally. Sit down, don't go anywhere, be in one place, be still. And then, if you can, also get quiet. And that allows for a settling. It allows for us to kind of catch up with ourselves, to reconnect with something more deep and more true within. And then that opens the door to the gold mine. There's a treasure house within.
Yeah. Very succinctly put. This reminds me of, silent retreat I did many, many moons ago, and also more recently, the water fast I did. So that act of fasting and retreating a bit from the world, such a deep stillness came through me. And I've noticed how much I was nourished by that and how hungry I was, my soul and spirit were for that.
Yeah. And my guess is that through that, there were all kinds of gifts, you know, some being just on that level of the purification, and a kind of inner cleansing, like even just on the level of your organs and so on within the physical body. But then also maybe a cleansing in terms of being less driven and less identified and hooked into certain habits and addictive tendencies and patterns. You probably had more clarity of mind. And my guess is as well that it's another thing in your rich life history that is giving some of the flavor of your presence. And that's one of your great gifts. Prior to anything that you could ever create or say or do, just your simple presence is so magical. And maybe people can join with us, because I'm feeling it now, even though I'm only seeing you through a screen. I'm feeling there's a certain something happening. And there are fewer words. And maybe even the people listening, can you kind of use your feelers or get quiet with us there's something here in this.
Yeah, and it's opening up to that and diving into that and allowing that and recognizing that.
Right on. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, this just the magic of this moment.
Yeah. This being here is so totally awesome. Yeah, most of the time we're forgetting that. We're just taking it for granted. Like, oh yeah, here I am and I've got my to-do list and I need to do this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, it's like riding on top of the fact that, wow, I'm alive right now. That's the greatest gift you could ever have. If you were given the choice between winning the £10 million on a lottery, but your life was going to be taken away, or have the life, every person's going to choose their life. It's a priceless gift. And then, you know, if we do look out into the universe about how vast it is, and that we're on a planet spinning through space to like infinite reaches of like just mind-boggling kind of expanses. It's like, whoa, when we really remember that or take that in or just play with that as a notion, oh my God.
I know, and it's funny because the best analogy I have is like that we're like ants. And, you know, I mean, you can just go kind of microcosm of the microcosm of the microcosm, right? Then you get microbes, or like microbes, because it's also just kind of taking into account, you know, recent data about the universe, which I've come across, I shared on my social media last night. So it's just like, oh my God, like I'm really excited to share this because it's just so profound and big, is that it's the amount of stars in the Milky Way that have a planet, an Earth-like planet, is something like it's 40 billion, right? And then now the latest data is that there are 2 trillion galaxies. So what that means?
And it's just like
it can't conceive. Like my mind cannot conceive.
Just,
no, I'm just an ant. I'm a little ant doing my little ant thing. And yeah, that's the best way I could like get it relative in my mind. Just yeah.
Yeah, and again, that's the kind of paradox, isn't it? There's one way in which we are, it's so infinitesimal and so kind of minute and tiny. And maybe there's at the same time, there's also that experience or perspective of like, wow, I'm here and something about what I am in fullness, what I am when there's a totality, is really matters. I'm an intrinsic part of this thing. I'm the king of my universe.
Yeah.
And like in our own world, we're each putting ourselves mostly, we put ourselves right at the center, and I'm so important. And at the same time, we're so unimportant.
Yeah.
Even within the human, without even going down to outer space, within the human family, 6 billion.
That's it. Like massively insignificant in the grander scheme of things. Yet at the same time, which I think was what you're trying to say, is that we are somehow intrinsic in everything, and like it's this funny paradox of
yeah.
When we tune into consciousness and we can get down into that understanding that we are everything and everything is us.
Could be. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. This is all just a game. Big thoughts, deep thoughts.
Yeah. And I find it so amazing that they're both new thoughts, and at the same time, they're not new thoughts. You know, that this kind of so many cultures had incredible cosmologies, tales of how the universe came into being, and somehow some of them were comprehending vast timescales. You know, they were doing their best, given their language, to try to portray like enormous spans of time and space. You know, these are guys like thousands and thousands of years ago. And so in a way, it's not a new thought.
No, yeah, absolutely. And we can draw from that, absolutely, for this era now we're in.
Yeah.
That's just wanting to round it off, because we've run out of time for now. So it's been absolutely amazing, wonderful to talk to you. Like, it's been a real pleasure. Really, I really mean that, Sutta. And reconnecting as well. And just, yeah, I wanted to ask, like, so how can people get in touch with you? How can people work with you?
So I'm there on Facebook as Sutta Guy Rawson. People can send messages. I have a website called www.thedarknessexperience.com. That's focused mostly on the darkness work. Could do with a bit of updating, if I'm honest. There's the Darkness Experience page on Facebook. And also I have a book, a group called I'm Ready to Remember.
Ah, okay.
It's all about supporting people in remembering.
Fabulous.
Remembering who and what we are.
Brilliant, amazing. I love that. Yeah. Might join myself. And
thank you for asking some really good questions and giving me this space to share and speak. It's really appreciate it. Thank you. And, for sure. I think we've just kind of scratched the surface. There's a lot more we could say.
And absolutely.
I'm very happy to go into more detail, or just to keep it more kind of practical and grounded for people about, okay, this is all great on an ideological level, but how does it apply? How can I apply some of this so that it makes a difference in my life?
Yeah. That's it. Fabulous. Yeah, well, we can, revisit and have more conversations. And yeah, so stay tuned if you're watching, listening, because we'll be back with another part to this conversation. Anything else? Parting words?
The parting words. I think whatever this thing is, life is, it seems to work. That the whole, the totality works. Even if your life doesn't seem to be working right now, or the government doesn't seem to work right now, or some aspect of society, life in its fullness is working. It's working perfectly. Things are okay. You're okay. Remember, there's something, I don't just speak that out to any human beings. You're okay. And you're meant to, that we're meant to be here to remember and to create and to be a bridge for an amazing future. For one and all. Mm. And all for one.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. And I shall share that in the show notes, the details contacting you, working with you. And well, I look forward to the next time, Suta. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Jody. It's been a pleasure. And yeah, I wish you inspiration and success with all the great stuff that you're up to.
Thank you.
Because you're really starting to bring it through now. And, you know, I know that what you're going to create is something really innovative and exciting and high quality and also deep. And that's great. Go for it, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. Well, likewise, in gratitude for knowing you and having this opportunity to chat with you. So thank you, Suta. Yeah, and possibly looking forward to working with you in the future. So
that's an exciting possibility, huh?
Yes indeed.
Yeah
All right, well, thank you so much. Take care,
friend. Bye for now
Bye-bye.
I do hope you enjoyed the podcast. Just to remind viewers, listeners, that I have a retreat coming up at the end of January, which is called the Step Out of Time Retreat, and that's happening on the beautiful island of La Palma. So if you fancy having 6 days of transformation, 6 days, seven nights, then get in touch. We have a limited amount of places, and it's going to be an amazing deep discovery, transformational with breakthroughs and amazing vegan vegetarian food as well. We're close to the sea, beach, and we'll be doing some amazing work with the five elements. So get in touch if you're interested and let me know. And the link is patreon.com/flowninja. Simple as that. Thank you so much. Hey guys, so please support this podcast and my YouTube by donating on Patreon. Every little help, big and small, is a massive support for me to continue making videos and get the word out there, get my story and my message out there. So I much appreciate any help you can give. The link for my Patreon is in the show notes. So I look forward to making more stuff, more content for you. Thank you.